Welcome to another edition of Stokes and Folks. I'm your host, Spencer Stokes, and today we are joined by a regular contributor to Utah Political Underground, Justin Allen. And if any of you do not know this, Justin is a longtime political personality in Utah and has a wide range of hilarious stories all the way back to the Orrin Hatch for President of the United States of America campaign. He went to Iowa for the Ames straw poll. But today we're talking about something he's fond of, and this will be a new section on the Utah Political Underground. He currently does a music review, and if you've never downloaded or listened to any of his recommendations, I recommend that you do that, because I've picked up some great new selections, songs, artists through that appreciation. So, but this is going to be an interesting, this is going to be a transcript done with elected officials. I did a test with Justin the other night. I think he's also done a test with Neil Abercrombie, another contributor to Utah Political Underground, in the book review section. But it's going to be a culture and media appreciation inventory with elected officials. So tell me how this all started, Justin.
Yeah, thank you, Spencer. This started from actually a conversation I had with the first elected official who was agreed to be a part of this new feature. And it was a conversation I had last year with Mayor Erin Mendenhall when she was running for Salt Lake City mayor.
And she actually might be the most hip politician. Now, there's going to be a lot of politicians that will disagree with me, but I don't think Senator Milner's going to say she's in the category of most hip.
We'll find out, you know.
Yeah, but let's have
Senator Milner be, you know, one of our guests. She might surprise us.
So you have this conversation about a year ago, you mentioned.
We have this conversation. I can't remember how we got onto music, but she mentioned that she had been in band through junior high and high school. And
did she mention what instrument she played?
You know, she did, and I can't wait to find out for her to remind me which one it is when I talk to her.
Obviously, it wasn't a standout. It was probably like a reed instrument.
I can't remember. But what she did is she started giving me some great recommendations on jazz music and going through all this great music that she listens to. And I thought, I did not know this about Erin Mendenhall, and it would be interesting to find out these prominent Utahns, these people that are making our decisions every day. It would be interesting to, I think, find out more about them as people and what kind of pop culture and media they like. But
it's not just limited to music.
It's not.
You know, the questions I got, you had categories. So what are some of the other categories besides music?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously, movies, television, books, podcasts, you know, how they consume media, kind of hardware they like to use in terms of, you know, listening to music or reading books or whatnot. So the hope is, you know, it gives kind of an interesting snapshot of sort of how they consume information, maybe in some of the sources, but also, in my experience, it's very interesting to learn sort of what movies people have responded to in their lives, what music they respond to. And not only does it humanize them, but I think it makes them more interesting of a person. I don't know if you've had this experience, but I've certainly had times where in a 5-minute conversation, just based on something that someone likes, I know that I'm going to like this person and we're going to be friends probably.
Right. If they like a similar movie. I had a really close friend who has since passed away. You actually know him, Greg Hawes.
Sure.
He was the auditor clerk treasurer in Weber County. He was on the state school board. And his all-time favorite movie was Joe Versus the Volcano. And he felt like every life's lesson came from Joe Versus the Volcano. And I had seen Joe Versus the Volcano. It didn't click with me, but then he started explaining to me why it was meaningful, and then when the next time I watched it, it had a different meaning to me.
Yeah, no, that's perfect.
But What I also found interesting, and by the way, this past Sunday, and for those that might be listening to this, this is being recorded on June 14th, and so on the 13th, today's Flag Day, by the way, happy birthday, Flag, and but I printed out a copy of what you sent me to ask questions, and the entire family had this conversation around the dinner table. And it was really fun.
Very cool.
Because I found out and learned some things about my daughters and confirmed things about my wife. You know, when I got to the musical section, the Broadway section,
yeah.
and discovered again that she only likes one musical, and that's Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And so, but it was a fascinating adventure. I've got a daughter who is married and they're watching every Academy Award winning movie since the beginning of time, which a lot of those I've never watched.
Right. Yeah.
So great. in your conversation with Neil Abercrombie, what was something interesting that you picked up from that interview that you did with him?
Oh, that's a good question.
To give a little background, yeah, while you're thinking, Neil Abercrombie is in his early years, he was the government relations person for the Utah League of Cities and Towns, and has since moved on and is the government relations vice president up at USU, and he teaches a class or two here and there. He has his master's degree, has his I don't know if he's completed his doctoral thesis, probably has completed his doctoral thesis, but so I consider him a well-read Utahn.
Yeah, no, I mean, appropriate for someone who's doing the book reviews. Neil listed a lot of great books that I had not heard of and had not read yet. We'll definitely put a transcript of that up on the, I think we should do it on the UTPOL Underground contributor page, maybe.
Okay, all right, we'll do it.
For you and Neil, we'll do them over time for everybody. But no, what, you know, a couple of fun things about my conversation with Neil, you know, he and I do have a lot of overlap on some of our movie tastes, and he and I have been to some concerts and things together over the years, so we do have some overlap. So he reminded me of a couple of very fun live concert experiences that we have had together, and that was part of that conversation.
Which is the best one you've been to together? The best concert?
Oh, man. That's a very difficult question, Spencer.
That's the kind of thing you get here on Stokes and Folks, probing, thoughtful, thought provoking questions.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And in this.
Well, let's not go with the best. Let's just go with the one you remember.
Well, I remember a few, but one exciting one that we did together. In one day, we hit two different music festivals because there were two different bands in different music festivals that we wanted to hit. I shouldn't say in over the course of a weekend, we traveled to different cities.
Okay,
to see,
all right,
different festivals over the same weekend, and where we ended up seeing a festival that had a couple of bands. One is called Phoenix, another one called Hot Ship that we both enjoy and still enjoy, but enjoyed very much, particularly at that time.
Now that's like a boat, Hot Ship,
or is it Chip?
Chip, yeah. Oh, Chip. Okay, yeah. See, yeah. I wanted to clarify because this is a clean show.
Yeah, no, I appreciate.
And I didn't want anybody to think it was Hot Shit.
Yeah.
So,
it was. It was.
It
that
was.
As well.
It was good. And what kind of music? What was the genre of music?
Oh, it's kind of indie rock kind of stuff in terms of Phoenix. And Hot Chip is kind of fun indie pop sort of upbeat stuff.
Do you ever wonder what's going on in one's mind when they come up with, I mean, why they pick the name of the band?
I do. But one, you can imagine what a struggle it would be at this point to try to find a name that you would want to live with for the entirety of your band's activity.
It wasn't like how I picked Stokes and Folks. I mean, it was somebody suggested it, and I said, great, that's a perfect
that'll work. Yeah. That'll work. But if you're trying to find something, I mean, if you're trying to be creative and you're trying to find something that you're not going to hate immediately and be saddled with forever, and there's a lot of pressure on that.
Yeah, yeah. And one that the members of the band won't say, you know, okay, he's picked the least favorite name. I'm going to stick with him for maybe a year. Right. And then I'm going to go to a band whose, you know, name I really like.
Yeah. I mean, for all we know, Adam Clayton, the drummer of U2, has hated the name U2, for 35 years. And there's nothing he can do about it.
And Chip, who the band that was named, you know, Hot Chip.
Yeah.
Chip, some guy they met and they thought he was hot.
It's possible.
Named it Hot
It's
Chip.
It's possible. Who's to say?
Or, you know, since we're heading into Pioneer Day soon, a hot buffalo chip.
Right.
You don't know.
Right.
You just don't know.
We don't.
But so back to Neil's choice here. I mean, you didn't learn there was nothing particular interesting other than. Does he still read newspapers? Because that was one of the questions, and I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, oh yeah. No, Neil is definitely, I mean, you know, he would want me to also mention that he receives, you know, information from many conservative news sources as well. But I do remember him talking about how he does get the New York Times delivered and gets a lot of his information from The Economist, which I thought was, you know, a good... I want my Neil Abercrombie's getting their information from The Economist.
Right,
that feels right.
Yeah. So does he subscribe to the magazine?
Yeah.
Because it still prints.
Yeah.
You know, that was actually one of the sections I will be the most interested in when you ask people if they still read newspapers. And if they do not, how do they get their news?
Right.
What apps do they use? Mm-hmm. What news sources? But also, do they subscribe to any magazines that they find, you know, very interesting? And so I am really looking forward to this. And as you continue to head down this pathway of, you know, speaking to elected officials and finding out what they're consuming in their media and what kind of hardware, what kind of music they like. And frankly, we'll take probably some of the recommendations. And you've decided to do it in a transcript form.
Yeah. So, you know, we could consider other approaches, I suppose, but felt like maybe the easiest way for it to be consumable would be to record the conversation and then have it be something I kind of prefer. This is just my own personal opinion. I kind of prefer reading.
Right.
Still over video. Maybe, you know, I'm still old school that way, I guess. But yeah, so I think we'll provide a transcript of the conversation. And
There is some talk amongst the Utah political underground hacks that we will produce a every 6 month magazine with our the best of the best.
Very cool.
Of things we've written about, music, some of Jordan Garn does a great job writing some pretty funny articles, book reviews, or food reviews. So I think that's still in the, so it'll be great to pick a couple of these that have been the most interesting and put them in the magazine so that some future politician can say when you interview them, do you subscribe to any magazines? And if they're at a loss, they'll be able to say, I get the Utah Political Underground
That's
magazine.
Right. That's right.
I didn't have to subscribe
nice plug,
to it.
Nice plug. Yeah.
So there's that talk. Now I know that we'll look forward to this, and your first interview is coming up. When's your first interview?
Friday, scheduled for Friday.
And it will be with Mayor Mendenhall?
With the mayor, yeah.
So that will be fascinating.
Appropriate, given our conversation.
Yeah, that's where it came from. Yeah.
That's the idea.
And in our conversation, we really worked to get through it in an hour and 10 minutes. And you're going to try to do this in 30 minutes.
Yeah, that'll be the goal. My goal is that it's such... an interesting conversation for the mayor that she's like, give me a part two, you know, next week. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes, Spencer.
Okay.
You know, we'll
or
make
she
do.
May.
We'll make do with 30 minutes.
She may, when somebody comes in to interrupt her, say, I just need a few more minutes. And then we'll know if the, right. if it ends up being a 45-minute interview, we'll know she was really
yeah,
into it.
Yeah.
My hunch is she will really be into it because I loved it. I loved the exercise yeah. of sitting down and reading the questions and thinking about, like you asked me, what was the first movie I ever attended? And it was Jungle Book.
Yeah.
And it was with my dad.
Yeah.
It was one of only a handful, well, a handful is generous. It was one of only two movies that I ever saw with my dad. And, you know, other than the first vision. But Jungle Book.
I think my favorite story from our conversation was the other movie that you went to see with your parents.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Brigham City.
And how long that lasted.
It didn't last long. No, it did not last long. One of the things I failed to say, and because I was trying to be polite, I have a brother who, you know, is a little wilder than
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
And my mother said these exact words, "I have to listen to this kind of language at home. I'm not going to sit here and listen to it in this movie theater." So that was the real language. And those were, I mean, Smoking the Bandit was like soft swearing.
I mean, it was probably Burt Reynolds saying damn to the monkey or something like that.
Right.
Right.
Right. You
know, pretty tame.
I didn't even know there was a monkey in the movie.
Maybe I'm confusing it with something else.
Yeah, there may have been a monkey. I only saw the first 10 minutes of the show. So there may have been a monkey. I don't know. I could have made an appearance like at minute 16.
It's possible.
Okay, in the last few minutes remaining we have here on the Utah Political Underground, I've threatened to do this, and I haven't done it yet because I think everyone is reticent of coming into the studio and talking about campaign memories. But, you know, when Senator Hatch ran for president, he was competing hard. You were one of the last few campaign stalwarts that was still going around the country, even after Orrin kind of scaled back after the Ames, Iowa straw poll. You went to a number of other states, I'll bet 10 other states after that,
yeah.
where Senator Hatch was going to make an appearance and you would go and set up. But give me one of the more memorable experiences from your life on the campaign trail for a presidential candidate. And let's face it, this was the year of George W. Right. Bush, and he was a machine. George W. Bush was a machine to get the nomination, and many people dropped out pretty quickly. Orrin hung in there for a pretty long time.
He did.
But the other people that were running, Alan Keyes was running.
Yep. Steve Forbes
was running. Gary Bauer was running.
Right.
I only remember those because they were the ones that was at Mo Rocca that did the interview with Orrin Hatch right after a debate.
It would be really interesting to go back and see how many super famous people were there, because I think it's possible that Stephen Colbert and Steve Carell, I mean, all those guys were
They were beginning their careers.
Their careers there. Nobody knew who they were.
The Daily Show was just barely coming into its own.
I bet if we went back and found that footage, I bet all of those guys were part of that.
But wasn't it Mo? You called me and asked me about should he do this interview with Mo Rocca for the Daily Show?
Yeah.
And I said just yes, but just tell him what it is.
Right.
Now, Senator Hatch didn't really watch The Daily Show.
No,
so.
No, he did not. But as I recall, it didn't go, he didn't, you know, it went okay.
It went okay. Yeah, I mean, I recall it vividly.
You're just trying to avoid a total disaster. And so, you know, in that way.
He didn't know there were comedy. And and really, The Daily Show was the beginning of comedy news.
Mm-hmm.
The Onion hadn't made its appearance.
Yeah.
The Babylon Bee hadn't made its appearance.
Yep.
He thought it was a full-on news reporter asking him serious questions about, and it took him about three questions before he figured out, or before it dawned on him what you had told him.
Right, right.
When you were briefing
him.
But I don't want to lead the witness. What were some of the other What's another memorable story that sticks out?
Well, you know, a couple that immediately come to mind when we were in New Hampshire at one point for some events there, which, by the way, I found they do like a little New Hampshire egg famous event thing, a political event. I can't remember what they call it, but I actually found just the other day the little wooden egg that we had picked up as a little souvenir from when Senator Hatch went to that event. But there are a couple of things that stand out. So one would have been a debate that they had in New Hampshire there, and it was very cool.
Was that the big dinner?
So that was the other one. Okay. I can't remember if these were the same time, but we did have a big debate. And, you know, up to that point, I had not had any interaction with George W. Bush yet. And, you know, Senator Hatch's play in this was, if something happens to George W. Bush's candidacy for whatever reason, then, you know, he's there to, you know, be the alternative.
And I think the what for whatever reason was that he'd snorted cocaine off the bar.
You know, there were some stories out there at the time. but we met him behind the stage at that debate, and immediately we got it. You know, the people who were there, he just oozed that cool, that charm, that ease. And from there, you know, it just sort of felt like, okay, you know, like we get it. The world in this case is not terribly unfair with the order of who's ahead.
Well, he was the current governor of Texas. Right. So, you know, as a friend of mine, Frank Souter, says, Texas is a big state.
Yeah.
So you'd have to be equipped to make it in Texas.
He was. The other one, though, is that dinner that you mentioned. And, you know, the most memorable part of that was they gave each candidate the opportunity to choose their own introduction music that would play as they went up to give their speech. And Senator Hatch, of course, you know, rightfully so.
This is an appropriate story for today.
Rightfully so, picked the song I Love Old Glory that he had written with Janice Cat Perry, and a great song and an appropriate tribute to the flag, right? And so Senator Hatch, I think, wanted to make sure that everybody heard this because he's a patriotic person, of course.
And one of the problems with that song is that the words, which he wrote, don't start for a very long time.
Very long introduction. Right. Stirring introduction. It's true. And so, you know, most of the other candidates, I can't remember what the exact order was, but several of the candidates had already gone and had pretty immediately made their way up to kind of rah-rah on the stage as soon as their music had started. Well, Senator Hatch had wanted to make sure the crowd really got into the mood, the spirit of the song and the occasion. And so as the music started to play, he was nowhere really to be seen on the stage.
And the co-chair of the national party, as I recall it, was out on the stage.
Right, yeah. Introducing him. Yep. And kind of waiting for him to come up like the other candidates had. And, you know, with the staff, we're somewhere in the back at some table. And, you know, we're kind of like, where is he? Kind of looking around. And I catch out of the corner of my eye, he's just standing still at the bottom of the stairs to kind of come up
at the side of the stage.
And it dawns on me, I think probably before anybody else, it dawns on me. I'm very perceptive into human nature this way, Spencer. But even at the very far distance, I could see that he was waiting for the audience to fully hear and appreciate the song before he went up on the stage to give his speech. And in fact, I saw him because the co-chair who was emceeing the event eventually spotted him and kind of was like, Come on up, waving to him. And he like did the gesture, hold on, like, wait a minute.
Wait for the big finale.
We're waiting here for this to, you know, envelop us all, the sounds right here. So eventually he did start to walk up. Now, the problem with waiting in that scenario is people who've been applauding eventually,
They can't hold the applause.
They can't keep it going forever. So as he finally made it to the stage, the applause was dying. And so when he asked people to stop applauding by gesture, it fell a little flat because the applause had largely died down by that point. And then he
was the last speaker, as I recall. Yeah, so it was dessert.
He may have been at that point. But then he opened up, you know, his remarks. saying, I wrote that song. And, you know, people were still, you know, trying to figure out and kind of getting their bearings on what was going on.
Right.
And as I recall, he then followed up the I wrote that song with something to the effect of, because there are people out there.
I think it was to keep people from urinating and defecating on the flag.
Right. Now, I don't remember what was being served for at that exact moment.
I hope it wasn't chocolate mousse lemon tart.
It felt... It didn't seem appropriate for the time. But here's the thing about Senator Hatch, right? And everybody who was in that room knew the guy, a true patriot, nothing but great intentions. No, not a, you know, just very sincere.
Yeah, I agree.
And so, you know, it was sort of humorous, just the confluence of events there. But
hey, yeah. Hey, Justin, thanks for joining us on Stokes and Folks to talk about the Culture and Media Appreciation Inventory Project. And we look forward to having you back on Stokes and
My
Folks.
My pleasure. I would
so we'll speak again to all of you next week. Make sure you like us wherever you consume your podcasts. And this has been another edition of Stokes and Folks.